and learn by playing, and the caring staff at ThinkerToys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated ThinkerToys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. We've been telling you about the death of one of America's favorite CBS people. Christopher Glenn died today at a hospital in Norwalk, Connecticut.
And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
He was reserved. He was modest, immensely talented, and danced with language like Baryshnikov. We liked him an awful lot. His feature in the news was on TV and radio for years. He loved radio.
I've always thought that the medium was especially good for communicating with audiences because you don't just have to sit there and stare at the pictures. You have to tell them the story and make them understand, you know?
CBS News senior correspondent Bob Schieffer.
He was a wonderful writer in addition to having such a distinctive voice. It's just hard to believe that that he's not with us anymore.
Chris Glenn was 68. As President Bush put pen to paper inside the White House, outside, protesters expressed their opposition to the new anti-terror law.
This program has been one of the most successful intelligence efforts in American history.
Effectively, it means two things. Military tribunals of alleged terrorists may begin soon, and the law is sure to face a constitutional challenge in court. Actor Wesley Snipes has been in a tight spot lots of times in the movies, but the director hollers cut in the movies.
It all starts with two false tax returns, says prosecutor Paul Perez.
In April 2001, Snipes filed a false claim with the IRS seeking a refund for the tax year 1997.
Perez says Snipes tried to cheat the government out of nearly $12 million in refunds he wasn't entitled to. He was also indicted for not filing returns for 6 years starting in 1999. Snipes was indicted in Florida because he lived here at the time of the alleged fraud, but nobody's sure where to find him right now. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Jail is unlikely, but CBS's Barry Bagnato says making a career comeback may be difficult for the former FDA commissioner.
Crawford said sharply, guilty, twice for each of two misdemeanor charges of not disclosing holdings in companies significantly regulated by the agency when he was there. Outside, he told reporters,
I want to accept full responsibility.
Recalling his time at the FDA,
I value that very much and would do it all again. Look forward.
At that point, he choked up. He's not expected to get jail time. His maximum fine, $100,000 on each count. Sentencing in January. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Chocolate turns on the same happy room in your brain that cocaine lights up. And like any addicts, chocoholics feel pleasure just looking at the object of their desire. Researchers at Oxford University in London found activity in the addiction section of the brain greater for those who love chocolate than for those who don't, even without tasting it. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 30 points to close at 11,950. The Nasdaq was off nearly 19. Oil, by the way, $59.50 a barrel, down 44 cents today. This is CBS News.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Yeah, since you guys have licensed insurance counselors, can you tell me how to break the news to my wife that I just bought a sports car?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available in most states and situations.
The man accused of killing his family, 22-year-old Sean Bentler, made his first appearance in court in Keosauqua, Iowa, to face the charges today.
You're accused of the crime of murder in the first degree upon Shelby Bentler, in violation of Iowa Code Section 707.2.
Bentler is accused of shooting his parents to death and all three of his teenage sisters, too. Bond remains at $2.5 million. He has a public offender for a lawyer. So you think you want to have your tongue pierced. Italian neurosurgeons say you should know complications can include tetanus, heart infections, brain abscesses, chipped teeth, receding gums, nasty, ugly scar tissue, and what's called suicide disease because of excruciating nerve pain that sometimes won't go away even after the stud is out of your mouth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Say, would you like to win an exciting island getaway? Well, log on to daysin.com for your chance to follow the sun to exotic Hawaii. You and the guests will fly to Honolulu to enjoy time under the sun, courtesy of Days In, the best value under the sun. Log on to daysin.com for details, official rules, and your chance to win this amazing prize. That's daysin.com. Days In, the best value under the sun.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Shall we talk?
Peter B. Collins!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. It is my option, the alternative to psychotherapy. Because I'm a man who is burdened with far too many opinions.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley.
The Peter B. Collins Show originates in San Francisco. We're live up and down the left coast and on into Phoenix, Arizona. And in today's program, we're going to take you to the great state of Ohio, the land of my birth, where the Slutsky brothers will be checking in. Also on today's program, Robert Scheer, a distinguished journalist and commentator, will join us. His website is truthdig.com. Next hour, investigative reporter James Ridgway from Mother Jones will join us with the five Bush scandals that could send Republicans to jail. And our intrepid investigator, Jason Leopold, checks in on George W. Bush and our electrical infrastructure. You remember that big blackout that hit New York City in 2003? Well, nothing's changed. New York got the Katrina treatment, and many people don't even realize it. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan. She's fighting corruption in Washington. We're going to talk about the FBI raids on Kurt Weldon's daughter's offices and home yesterday. We'll talk about Bob Ney, the Ohioan who has pled guilty but has not yet resigned his seat in Congress. And we'll get a take on whether this Harry Reid thing has anything behind it or not. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments, welcome as usual. That's what makes it a two-way talk show. And we pay for your call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you can email me 24/7, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Well, Matthew and Peter Slutsky are on the One Minivan, One America tour, and let's see where they are today.
From Studio 3B inside the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, this is Doublespeak. In under 30 days, the state of Ohio will once again play a central role in deciding the balance of power in this great country we call America. With both the House and the Senate up for grabs, we can't stress enough, it's all about Ohio, baby. On today's episode of Doublespeak, we'll talk with Congressman Sherrod Brown, who's got the momentum going into the final month of this campaign and is making his race for Senate one of the most talked about in America. You'll also meet Kyle McDermott and Ben Waxman from the good old AFL-CIO. With over 2 million labor households in the Buckeye State, this key constituency can make the difference for Dems in 06. So douse your grape nuts in soy milk, roll up some sushi, and hug an Islamo-fascist, because I'm Matthew Slutsky, and I'm his brother Peter, and this is Doublespeak.
Where do you find an Islamo-fascist to hug when you're really need one, Matthew?
You have to look long and hard. We have not found one in Ohio, but we're on the tour still, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, guys, welcome back to the show today.
Thanks so much, Peter.
And I want to point out before we get going that people can follow your travels and your antics at doublespeakshow.com. We just heard the intro to the podcast that you can download there. And these guys are really tricked out and teched up in Mom's minivan that they're driving around the battleground states for the midterm election that is exactly 3 weeks from today. And do you feel things building for change, a regime change, Peter, in Washington?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. You know, 3 weeks left, the voters and all the people that we're meeting are just excited. They're antsy for change, and they feel it coming.
Yeah. Now, many of us are chastened by what has happened in Ohio under the tutelage of one Kenneth Blackwell. He's still the Secretary of State, a candidate for governor, and he jiggered the election in 2004, and we believe he jiggered the referendum campaign, the initiatives that were on the ballot in 2005. And he is running 20 points down from the Democratic challenger Ted Strickland, and they've been reduced now to looking for technicalities. They're trying to claim that Strickland, who's been a member of Congress, is not technically a resident of Ohio, and therefore they're going to try to throw him off the ballot. And ordinarily you'd laugh that off, but Ken Blackwell, as Secretary of State, maybe has some leverage. Peter Slutsky, is that a real threat, or is this just a desperation move late in the campaign?
Well, you know, you'd like to think that it's not a real threat, but anything is in play with these guys. And as we saw in 2004, Ken Blackwell, who was the Secretary of State, he really did manipulate the elections, and he made it so it wasn't fair. And there's been reports that have come out after the election that have proved that. And now he's trying to do the same thing with his election. And I think it's laughable at this point because he's so far down the polls, he's trying to do anything to regain some kind of footing or traction, but it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Now, Matthew, tell us about your encounter with Sherrod Brown. He's a true progressive. I'm a little disappointed that he voted for the detention bill, the military commissions bill in the House. But in a tight race, you have to make some compromises. So I'm going to give him some slack on that. But he's a true progressive when it comes to issues like jobs and globalization, the bad trade deals that we've made, starting with NAFTA. What's it like to meet him in person? Tell us, Matthew.
Well, I was really impressed with Sherrod Brown. You know, we met him on a cold morning in Canton, Ohio, and he was having an interview with the Canton Repository newspaper, and we met him after that. And he's, you know, very personable. You know, for a guy who's been in Congress for all those years, he still feels like a hometown, regular kind of guy. And, you know, we even got to joke around with him about Beverly Hills 90210 star Luke Perry, who was going on the campaign trail with him later that night, who actually knows him growing up. So he was a real fun guy to hang out with, and we got to do a long interview with him.
All right, let's listen to a snippet from that. The Slutsky brothers catching up with Sherrod Brown, the Democratic challenger who looks really good to win that Senate seat in Ohio.
We have lost 200,000 manufacturing jobs since Mike DeWine and George Bush were sworn in January of 2001. We have no manufacturing policy in this country. We have no manufacturing policy in our state to rebuild, to retain our industrial base, to rebuild our communities. We're standing in Canton, Ohio, similar to the town I grew up in, Mansfield. There are communities all over this state which have seen too many manufacturing plants close, too many people laid off, too many police and fire and school system layoffs of public servants, and too many young people leaving our state as a result. I think we first of all start with with new trade policy. We add on to that a tax policy that rewards domestic manufacturing rather than encouraging large corporations to outsource through tax policy. And we need to do way better in our education system to fund education in a way that young people have the opportunity, working families, middle-class families, have the opportunity to go to school without running up huge debt if they can go at all.
So, gentlemen, is Mike DeWine talking about the same issues, or is he trying to wedge voters around gay marriage and, you know, some of those typical neocon tactics? Peter?
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. When you're sitting in front of a TV or in front of a radio these days in Ohio, all you hear is political ads. And I would have to say that most of the attacks that we're hearing from the DeWine camp are, basically that Sherrod Brown is too liberal. And that's what they keep hitting him and hitting him on. So there's nothing new. There's no ideas being spoken about. It's basically just trying to trash Sherrod Brown's record.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, I grew up in Ohio, and one of the reasons I left was the Republican machinery that tends to dominate it politically, especially in my hometown of Cincinnati. And, what DeWine is saying does gain traction with a lot of people in Ohio who, have been pretty well brainwashed in many respects to believe that liberal is just another word for evil.
Absolutely. I mean, the Republicans go back, when they're in trouble, when they're backed against the wall, they revert back to their old tactics of scare, scare, scare. And that is, there's no better example than Mike DeWine in Ohio right now. And, I think that can only work for so long, and although it's worked well for the past, a number of political cycles, people want change, and I think they know that these policies that DeWine has supported and the Bush policies have failed, and they're looking for something new, and Sherrod Brown's going to be there to give them a new positive agenda for this country.
And Peter, Sherrod Brown is up in the polls, and it's pretty much, tell me what the latest is, because what I saw recently, he was about 2 points ahead of Mike DeWine.
Yeah, he is a couple points up. There's some polls that have him, 10 points up, but I don't think that's accurate. This weekend there was an interesting story in the New York Times by Adam Nagorny, where he basically said that the Republican committee was going to pull their ad buys and their money out of the DeWine race in Ohio. And then there's been some counter, to that in the last couple of days saying that, maybe they are just scaling it down or maybe it's not happening at all. But either way, they are up against the ropes, and Brown is up. And we've watched a couple of the debates on C-SPAN, and he's really doing a great job of defining the issues in the campaign and selling himself as a positive campaigner and a positive candidate for Ohio.
Well, I'd love to see him, roll up a 6 or 8 point margin before the election, because I do have concerns about the Republican vote counting operation in Ohio and how it would treat a close election. Of course, we saw in the referendum campaign of 2005, it wasn't even close, but they brazenly just flipped the numbers, it appears.
Yeah, and then you'll move back to Ohio, right, Peter, if Sherrod Brown wins?
Mom's been keeping my room as a shrine all these many years. So
that sounds familiar.
It's possible. Yeah. I almost registered to vote in Ohio in 2004 to try to help Kerry, and now I kind of wish I had. Gentlemen, we'll take a break and return, and then we're going to meet candidate Zach Space, a candidate for Congress in Ohio. We're talking with the Slutsky brothers, Peter and Matthew Slutsky. Their website is doublespeakshow.com. Log on there, and if you got some spare change, you could help them buy a tank of gas for the One Minivan, One America tour. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah.
He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teacher's highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm hitting the road tomorrow for Eureka area. We'll be live from the Del Arte Center in Blue Lake. That is tomorrow, live 3 to 6 p.m. And if you're a KGOE listener in far northern California, come on by. We'll make room for you, all right? We gave away all the tickets, but Tom Seaborn assures me that we'll find a way, bring a radio and a lawn chair, and we'll find a way to make it all work. And I'm looking forward to meeting all of our KGOE listeners tomorrow, 3 to 6. Hope to see you there.
I went back to Ohio.
We continue now with the brothers Slutsky, the One Minivan, One America Tour. They're in my home state of Ohio. And by the way, Rush Limbaugh doesn't own the rights to this song. And Chrissy Hynde is forever peeved that he has used it so often and so shamelessly over the years. And, guys, tell us a little bit about this fellow, Zach Space. I have heard his name, don't know too much about him. Peter, why don't you give it a start?
Sure. Yeah, Zach Space is a young, vibrant, new politician. He's an attorney who lives in Southeast Ohio in the 18th District. And what's interesting about Zach Space is that he's had two opponents in this race. He first started with Ohio Republican, now embattled criminal Republican, Bob Ney. And then when he left the race, Joy Padgett is now his new opponent.
Mm-hmm. Well, that has to be a windfall. And Ney is kind of a gift that keeps on giving. He was wrapped up in the Abramoff scandal. He was one of the co-authors of the tainted Help America Vote Act. And he also is stinking up the joint because he has pled guilty and promised to resign, but he hasn't yet resigned. And if he doesn't do so by the start of the lame duck session on about the 12th or 13th of November, the newly ethically charged up Speaker of the House has said that he's going to move to expel Ney, and that can only be good for Zach Space. Matthew?
Sure, and you know, this is a district that is rural. It's historically very, you know, Republican, and it's been safe for Bob Ney for a long time. And Zach, when we met him, told us, you know, sort of about the evolution of the voters in terms of accepting that this had actually happened to their congressman and in their district. And they're at the point now where, you know, I think they, even as historically Republican voters, they want something different. And when Zach Space wins in November, it's going to signify a huge change nationwide for the entire country.
Let's listen to Zach Space.
Part of the reason we're on this trip and that we're running around in a minivan is because we want to get extremely local and really get a feel for the districts that we're visiting. Obviously, the issue of Iraq, and there are a lot of issues that are sort of the national issues that a lot of folks have mentioned to us. But here in this district, what are the real local issues, true local issues that, that you can help influence when you're a member of Congress?
I think, as I indicated earlier, jobs is, I mean, for lack of a better one-word phrase, jobs is probably the most important and central issue, economic issues generally, which could include health care and education, a lot of other issues. But jobs, I mean, we've been victimized by this new economy that has been brought about by these free trade policies that our government has engaged in on a global scale for the last 12 years. And a lot of the good manufacturing jobs are gone. If you drive through this district, and I'm hopefully you'll have a chance to do that before you leave tomorrow, keep an eye open for these factories, these big old factory buildings, and you're going to find a lot of them that are sitting abandoned now or being used as warehouses. And you know, you can tell when they're being used as warehouses because there's a big, huge parking lot. There's about five cars in it. You'll see a lot of these things. See, my grandfather came over here from Greece back in the early part of the last century. And he eventually migrated his way here into Tuscarawas County. And he got a job in a steel mill, like everybody else. There's a big steel mill in Dover. And my dad went to work in that same mill, like everybody else. When you drove by 50 years ago, it was full of cars. Now, it's being used as a warehouse. It's like that everywhere you go. The jobs that we have now tend to be non-labor, low skill, low wage, and no benefit jobs. I mean, it's downright sad.
That's from Ohio, and that is Zach Space, who, if everything works out, is going to take the place of Bob Ney in the Congress next year, and that's got to be a real upgrade no matter how you slice it. Right, Matthew?
Sure. You know, we were really excited, to, as Peter said earlier, Zach Space is a young and vibrant new kind of Democrat, and I'm just excited to see him sworn in at the next session of Congress.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, because it's great to bring these voices, Sherrod Brown and Zach Space, to our listeners on the West Coast to give a snapshot of what's going on in the heartland and in a key battleground state. Peter, what's your next stop?
We are headed through the Midwest on our way through to Iowa, where we'll be talking to some great candidates, the gubernatorial candidate, Chet Colver, and others. And then, you know, our ultimate goal is to get up to Montana in the next week or two and spend some time up there talking to John Tester and some of the other great candidates that are in Montana running. But we're having the time of our lives, and my brother and I and our producer, Josh, are, you know, we're having... It's unreal to be out on the road and see this firsthand, this great change in America.
Well, give my compliments to Josh as well. You guys are doing great work, and you're right at the, you know, the pulse points of this really crucial sea change election. And let's talk again next week.
Okay, and if your viewers see our 1998 minivan rolling down the street, give us a honk and we'll stop and buy you a beer.
What's your brand? What kind of minivan?
It's a Toyota Sienna.
Okay.
I love soccer moms on the back.
Good luck, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Peter and Matthew Slutsky, visit their website. It's doublespeakshow.com. Coming up next, Robert Scheer, the intrepid and veteran investigative journalist and commentator. He'll join us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. We are all the way live en vivo on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and I'm going to be live in Eureka tomorrow. Join me at the Del Arte Center in Blue Lake. We're live on KBBR 1340 in Coos Bay, Oregon, and our newest live affiliate, KPHX 1480 in Phoenix. We're glad to have you listening in Sacramento. I haven't forgotten about you. 1240 Talk City airs us in the nighttime in Sacramento. That's KSAC. Joining us this half hour, a frequent contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show, is Robert Scheer. He's a syndicated columnist, and his column originates with the San Francisco Chronicle. He is the proprietor or co-founder, I'm not sure the exact provenance, of TruthDig.com, a great website we're going to talk about in a minute. We'll take a tour there. And his most recent book is called Playing President. with the lengthy subtitle, My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. Robert Scheer, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
God, it sounds like you got an empire there in Radio Land.
We're working it. I mean, hey, you got the boot from the L.A. Times and decided to set up your own printing press on the web. And there's a little justice now because the publisher who fired you got sacked by the Tribune Company.
Live by the sword, huh?
Yeah. What about his last stand there, Bob? Is that kind of an interesting change for you?
His stand, Jeff Johnson?
Yeah, because he went to Chicago and said, I refuse to lay off any more people.
Yeah, well, you know, these publishers, when they go, they seem to go with about $10, $20 million in a buyout. I'm not impressed. You know, I think the numbers weren't coming up right, you know. They're milking, you know, the whole problem with this media concentration, you know, you buy these properties and then you want to bleed them dry. And you can't get the numbers to get any better than they are. They're not bad. And then, you know, I think he saw the handwriting, and he said, hey, you know, this way I go out a hero.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because the pressure...
He's a nice guy, and I wish him a happy retirement.
The pressure is coming from the Chandler family, though, the longtime owners of the L.A. Times, who sold out to Tribune Company, what, about 4 years ago?
Well, the only Chandler that was worth anything in that crowd is unfortunately died, Otis Chandler, and he, and he's the one who made it a great paper, and the rest are just, you know, looking to protect their investment and get the maximum amount of money, and, you know, so it really has nothing to do with good journalism or what's good for the readers or anyone else. And, you know, you mentioned my website, and, you know, I go back to A.J. Liebling, the great media critic, and he said freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I own half of one.
Bob Truthdig is really impressive. I pulled it up today, and this has really grown. It's been up, what, about 15 months now?
No. Giving will be a year, and we've had about 7-8 million people come to it. It's pretty wild. The internet, you know, I'm not getting rich off it or anything, but we're certainly getting a lot of readers, and we are actually getting some advertising, and I think it's the way to go. And you know, we carry radio. I believe we're carrying you on our site. Or at least we're supposed to be. I'll go and issue the order as soon as I get off.
Well, you're welcome to our content. I don't know if it's there or not. I haven't checked.
Yeah. But we do a lot of podcasting, and, you know, we're supposed to be carrying it.
I'm clicking on podcast right
now. Office. Let me just see.
I'm clicking on podcast right now.
Are we carrying the Peter B. Collins Show? And if not, why not? He barks out an order.
Yeah. And I'm sure many minions are just cowering in fear.
We will. I assure you it'll be up this week once we get the permission or know how to do it. But it's great. You know, I pay $10 to run Molly Ivins, and we get, you know, 30,000-40,000 people come to it. We have Chris Hedges, who was the New York Times bureau chief for 6 years. He writes great stuff, and we signed him up as a columnist. And, you know, we try to pay our writers, and I think it's great. It's a great ride, and my publishers, Wade Kaufman, has a really good attitude, and, you know, I think we're in business.
And name a couple of names. Who are the hardworking gnomes who, you know, beat on the website every day and make it look so nice?
Oh, my goodness. There you go. We got Karen Spector, Blair Golson, Peter Scheer. I mean, these are people who make the website work. And actually, they're brilliant people in their mid-20s. And, you know, they know how to do all this stuff. They know how to post stuff, you know. But, you know, we there's a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, we can post, you know, Jon Stewart and Keith Olbermann and all those kind of people. And, you know, they're doing great stuff. And that's really, I wasn't kidding about wanting to have you on our website because, you know, there's a lot of energy out there. And a lot of people want this stuff, and we want to help them get it.
Yeah. I want to turn to an article that's prominently displayed on the homepage right now, and it's entitled Sowing the Seeds of Fascism in America, and Stan Goff has written this piece. Bob, this is something we've been talking about on the program, and I can't think of the guy's name, but we pulled up a web article and interviewed the fellow a couple of weeks ago. And he, Lawrence Britt, it's coming back to me, he identified the 14 elements of fascism, And they fit the Bush administration better than that glove that O.J. could never get off.
Yep. Well, you know, Stan Goff is an interesting guy because he spent his whole adult life as a ranger, you know, in the military, and did everything he could to defend his country. And we have a piece going up by him tonight talking about what's going on. And his own son is in the military now and is in Iraq. So, you know, he's not somebody who doesn't feel the country ought to be defended, and, you know, and he was prepared to do his bit. But he said, you know, we're following an authoritarian model here that's really eerie, and which, you know, you can't question anything. But I'll tell you, somebody who has written a heck of a book, Soros, George Soros.
Yeah.
Have you seen his new book called The Age of Fallibility?
I haven't. I haven't read that.
Wow. Well, let me tell you, he was probably the most successful capitalist we have in the whole country, and he's written this book that very much hits this theme. And it's interesting. I introduced him. He spoke here in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California, and then there was a breakfast for him. And I asked the question at this meeting. I said, you know, how come it's just a few guys like you and Norman Lear and a few other successful capitalists who are warning us about what's going on? Why don't the rest of your buddies get it? Why do they still give money to Bush and to the Republican Party? And his answer was, they are innocents. Not innocent, but innocents. And he said, you know, I am not. He said, I grew up in Hungary under fascism. I was there when the Soviets conquered the place. I know how quickly these societies can crumble. And the point he makes in the book, you know, after all, fascism came to Germany, which was the most advanced country in the world in terms of its science, you know, its arts, its education, everything else. And what happened, you know, they crumbled, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to me, Bob, the low point is this military commissions bill. And I've renamed it in the spirit of the way the Bush administration names its bills. I call it the Joseph Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. But to me, it has the elements of fascism in it. We are lowering our standards. We are backing away at the president's whim from the Geneva Conventions. And we're saying that habeas corpus, something that, you know, has been part of common law in the Western world for hundreds of years, is something that's too good for people who we detain under our system of quote-unquote justice.
Yeah, without any evidence whatsoever that torture is even effective, my God, aside from whether it's moral, without any evidence that these tactics that they've used have turned up anything, any information. I mean, if they have it, why don't they bring some of these people to trial? And the fact is, you know, for all of the use of these methods, I think, you know, if you even read the 9/11 Commission report or look at the Senate Intelligence Committee, these people basically told them what they didn't want to hear. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, you can torture him all you want. And he still said, look, we hated Saddam Hussein. We had nothing to do with Iraq. That's in the Senate Intelligence Report.
Mm-hmm.
So then we don't get to hear it. That's why they don't want to have trials. They don't want to hear what they're learning, because what they're learning is that Bush made a very big mistake going into Iraq. You know, that he didn't understand this Al-Qaeda movement. And they've got a lot of other things they can. How did Khalid Sheikh Mohammed ever meet bin Laden? You know, again, the 9/11 Commission report, he met him as a freedom fighter on the fields in Afghanistan, supposedly fighting the Soviets.
Yep.
You know, we have trained these people. So I think the real reason for secrecy, you know, and control of this, we don't know who these people are, is they don't want us in on the information. And, you know, in terms of the rise of fascism, I think it's important to understand that as a phenomena, that it happened in the most advanced country, because everybody thinks it can't happen here. You know, hey, we're a modern people. It must be, you got to be a Muslim. You got to be in some poor country. You got to, you know, and that's not the history of it. The history of it, you know, look what happened to Rome. I mean, it was the most advanced countries, and when they try to be these imperial powers, and when they keep frightening everybody with the barbarians at the gate, and that's why we can't afford freedom. Freedom becomes an indulgence. We can't afford it. You know, that's when you lose your republic.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole thing is all about, and people better be starting to study their history to understand that. You know, that's why George Washington warned us against these foreign entanglements.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you can scare everyone and say, look, the enemy's at the gate, and, you know, we can't have freedom, forgetting what freedom is all about. Freedom makes you a sounder society, you know. Freedom protects you against error. You know, freedom is what makes you strong. But this administration doesn't believe in it. It believes in manipulation and lying, and you know, fortunately now two-thirds of the people seem to have been turned against them.
Yeah.
I hope it registers in the elections coming up. You know, if you got any Republicans listening to this, I think it's time to go for the Democrats. You know, hold your nose if you have to, but let's get some accountability in government. You know, let's have some hearings. Let's get to the bottom of this stuff.
Well put. You know? Robert Scheer with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about TruthDig.com, the website that he co-founded and co-owns, and he's still waiting for some cash to flow his way.
All right, we got some. We have some ads.
And here's your current coverage, two great angles on the story we're discussing. Bush signs torture bill, and it reads, "It's official. We just got medieval. The Associated Press calls it tough interrogation. We call it the indefinite detainment, unyielding torture, habeas corpus suspending, mortgage America's bedrock principles upon the altar of anti-terrorism bill." But different strokes for different folks. And right above it is an article that I haven't seen anywhere else today. Hillary equivocates on torture. And this is a piece imported from the New York Daily News. So that's just a taste of what you can find at truthdig.com. John joins us from Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air with Peter B. and Robert Scheer.
Robert Scheer, I'd like to ask you about the vote for this Joe Stalin bill, as Peter so appropriately calls it. It was, as I recall, 65-34. How do you account for that big victory? I mean, they gave him this on not a silver platter, but a whole bunch of them. How do you explain this, and how do you explain the posturing of McCain and the other Republicans who never even had habeas corpus, the surest way to prevent any abuse, torture or otherwise, in detention? It never was on the table, so the debate was obviously a farce. How do you explain this?
Fear and ambition. The same reason so many people have gone along with totalitarians throughout the world. You know, you forget about the future of your own people, you forget about the future of your own country, and you lose the faith in freedom. It's really frightening. I mean, well, let's forget about the Republicans. Why do so many Democrats go along? You know, they know better.
There were 12
here. They're just afraid.
12
and,
Democratic senators voted for that bill.
They didn't believe in.
I'm sorry, Bob. 12 Democratic senators voted for that bill.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame. So what are you going to do? But I still say the Democrats had at least control of the House. You know, then at least somebody like Henry Waxman, who does have integrity, or Ed Markey from Massachusetts, you know, these people could have hearings and subpoena witnesses and get to the bottom of some of this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying the Democrats are perfect by any means. They've given us wars that were bad. They've lied to us, too. But in the current situation, at least if we get some kind of two-party jockeying going, maybe we'd have division of powers. And
yeah, throw these bums out, and maybe you'll get some other bums, but at least we'll get a change in the tone and the texture of what's going on. We're going to take a break and return with Robert Scheer. You can join us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573. What's the rest of that number? 8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients.
Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and tomorrow we're going to originate from the Eureka area at the Del Arte Performing Arts School in Blue Lake. I understand that's where they train clowns, and I'll see if I can get any extra credit while I'm there. We're talking with journalist Robert Scheer. His most recent book is called Playing President. Fascinating look at his encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton. And it's out in paperback. I recommend it to you. Also, the website, truthdig.com. Lots of powerful and very current information. Speaking of Eureka, Debbie's on the line from Eureka. Welcome, Debbie. You're on with Peter B. and Bob Scheer.
Hello, Peter B. Hello, Bob.
Hi.
I had a question regarding a pocket veto, and does that apply to this draconian bill that was just signed regarding torture?
Well, in technical terms, a pocket veto is where the president just holds on to a bill.
I mean, he made a big deal about how important it was to get this done immediately, and then it just sat there for like almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, but he signed it today.
Right.
So there's no pocket veto in the offing here.
But he didn't sign it within the 10 days.
But trust me, he went on torturing.
Oh, I know he did. Yeah. I was just curious for future reference.
Well, what do you base the 10-day timeline on?
The thing on C-SPAN says that it's when the president fails to sign a bill within the 10 days allowed by the Constitution, Congress must be in adjournment in order for a pocket veto to take effect. And if they are in session, he fails to sign, then it just becomes law without his signature.
Uh-huh.
And I understood that they went into adjournment after that bill.
They did. That is correct.
And he's just signing it today, so that's been more than 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have to look for other authorities on that because I honestly don't know the finer points.
Right.
And I was under the impression that he could sign it pretty much whenever he wants. I didn't know there was any shelf date on that.
Yeah, I Googled pocket veto and C-SPAN congressional glossary came up, and that's where I read that from. So
that's cool. You know, I'm going to ask one of our Truth Dig people to dig into that and
cool.
See what the story is. We could do that in real time.
Excellent.
I'll be up in about 15 minutes as soon as I'm off the air, so we'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, Debbie.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I look forward to that.
I'll be there.
Now, it's interesting, Bob Scheer, on a program like this, how we have very well-informed listeners and callers. My email on a daily basis includes great information that people have gleaned from websites I'll never get to. And it's really neat when we can set up the give and take here in the talk radio game.
Yeah, you know, the information is out there. Unfortunately, in the national security foreign policy area, some of it, the Keith stuff you don't get for 20 years later or something like that. So we really don't don't. We're dependent upon the basic narrative of what happened on 9/11, really on Dick Cheney and what he's been willing to tell, pass on to the 9/11 Commission or the Senate or anyone else. We one argument for public trials is to see the evildoers. Hear from them. What are they about? You know, if we don't understand the motives of the evildoers, to use the president's simplistic concept, we can't fight them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this administration has really kept the basic information. We still, I keep repeating this until I'm blue in the face, we don't know who those 15 Saudis were.
Right. And only
we don't know anything about them.
In a poll published yesterday, a national poll, only 16% of Americans responding said that they believe what we've been told about the events of 9/11. And that is breathtaking.
Well,
Bob, I want to turn to the column that you published on the 10th of October, and people can find it at TruthDig and also through your syndication via the San Francisco Chronicle. And you wrote about the what we now know was an actual plutonium-based explosion in North Korea a week ago Sunday. And you wrote, the policy options left are dumb and dumber. Either passively accept Pyongyang's defiant threats and ability to slip weapons-grade plutonium around the world, or launch an invasion that could spark a devastating attack on Seoul, South Korea. Thank you, Mr. President, you say to Bush. I feel so much safer now that we have a wannabe cowboy in charge of the free world. How serious do you think this showdown with North Korea will prove to be, say, 3 to 5 years from now?
Well, I think it's very serious in terms of there are weapons of mass destruction out there. There's the means of making weapons of mass destruction, and the biggest crime, and I use the word advisedly, of this administration was to blur that distinction and to trivialize the concern about the proliferation of nuclear weapons and go after invade a country that had stopped its nuclear weapons research program, over 10 years before. And they knew that. And the data was very clear on that. And yet they invaded North Korea. At the same time, they gave a pass to Pakistan. This president removed the sanctions on Pakistan, which Clinton had imposed because Pakistan had developed a nuclear weapon. Then we learned that Pakistan, the father of the Islamic bomb, Khan, was the guy that's the country from which North Korea, Libya, and Iran got their key nuclear technology.
Right.
And yet this administration rewarded Pakistan by dropping the sanctions. And we had a policy that was working with North Korea. Madeleine Albright had gone over there. Jimmy Carter had negotiated an arrangement. Their plutonium, which they had generated from their so-called peaceful nuclear program, was under lock and key, was under UN inspection. And just as we derided the UN over Iraq and WMD, where the UN was right, we dismissed all of that work that had been done, and Bush tore up that agreement, ended the bilateral contacts with North Korea. That was the serious program, not the enrichment of uranium, which is a long time in the making, but they had plutonium. And it was under lock and key. It was being observed by the UN inspectors who could see it. And what happened? We ended this regime, and it's that plutonium, which is the basis of their new testing. It is very dangerous. The UN announced today that there are 30 countries around the world that they're afraid, new ones, that in a very short time can develop nuclear weapons, because they also have this joint use of, production of nuclear materials and so forth. And, you know, if that had been a primitive nuclear weapon that went off in Manhattan instead of the two planes hitting the World Trade Center, we wouldn't even be having this discussion now.
Yeah.
I mean, if we had lost Manhattan or lost a significant proportion of the population, the financial center of New York, I can assure you the Bush administration would not be allowing us to walk around free.
Robert, thank you very much.
Well.
We're out of time. Bob Scheer, thank you for joining us. Pick up the book, Playing President. Go to the website, truthdig.com. And check out Left, Right, and Center on public radio. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you again soon.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
One of broadcasting's greats died today.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, everyone. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
President Bush signs the law authorizing overseas interrogations.
This program has been one of the most successful intelligence efforts in American history.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. For many years, when this broadcast was called The World Tonight, the anchor was Christopher Glenn. It was one of many assignments in a 35-year career with CBS News. Liver cancer claimed Chris Glenn today, just 8 months after his retirement. He was 68. Those of us in the business will remember him as the consummate newsman. Audiences remember the voice, not only on radio, but on Saturday morning TV in the 70s.
In the news, the Watergate Four received jail terms.
No matter how complex or grown up the subject, Christopher Glenn made it understandable to kids watching cartoons. Years later on radio, he tried to make sense of a tragedy.
A report relayed through the Flight Dynamics officer.
A terrible
vehicle has exploded.
Just before his retirement in February, Chris was asked about his memorable moments.
Definitely being there when Challenger blew up in front of my face in 1986 and had to get back on the air real fast to describe that and had a very difficult time doing it. It was a very, very emotional moment, probably the most emotional of my career.
For reporter Frank Motek of CBS radio station KNX, being there with Chris was a high point of his career.
He was looking out the window at the shuttle disaster, shaking, and then turned to the microphone and describe and, I think, do the definitive description of that terrible tragedy involving the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Christopher Glenn spent his final years as anchor of the CBS World News Roundup in the morning, the longest-running news program in broadcasting. Now this.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. It's the Right Now factory-authorized service event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now factory-authorized service event ends soon.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
President Bush today signed the law establishing military tribunals for suspected foreign terrorists and authorizing a program of aggressive interrogations. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Above all else, the new law meets the president's number one test in that it authorizes the resumption of the CIA program of interrogating terror suspects seized abroad. and in the treatment of those detainees, Mr. Bush said the U.S. will comply with both the letter and spirit of the Geneva Conventions.
As I've said before, the United States does not torture. It's against our laws and it's against our values.
At the same time, the law shields CIA interrogators from lawsuits by detainees, but they can be charged if they engage in the kind of cruel and inhuman practices spelled out in the bill. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Human rights activists are skeptical of the president's promises, and Anthony Romero of the ACLU says the law is just plain wrong.
The Military Commissions Act is un-American and unconstitutional.
Court challenges are pending. Before Enron founder Ken Lay died of a heart attack in July, he'd been convicted of fraud and conspiracy. Today, a federal judge in Houston vacated the conviction. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says that's the way the system works.
Federal law is pretty clear that if you die before you are formally sentenced, your conviction is vacated. Now, prosecutors have tried in many ways to get around that. They want the conviction to stand because it'll make it easier for them to collect money from Lay's estate. But so far, that hasn't worked, and this decision by this judge will make it even harder for prosecutors to get that job done.
An attorney for Mark Foley says the disgraced former congressman will give the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Miami the name of the priest who allegedly molested him as a child. Foley made the charge as he entered alcohol rehab. His lawyer says the priest is still alive, but the statute of limitations has long expired. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the radio talk show nobody asked for. They named it after me. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And this hour, Jason Leopold will join us a little bit later to talk about what we haven't done to fix the problems that caused the huge East Coast blackout in 2003. But first, Jim Ridgway on the Bush administration and 5 different issues that could lead to Republicans in jail.
We got a president so bad. Gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Ah, but he's so compassionate. Compassionate.
That's Yikes McGee, a song called Bad President. Yikes hails from Baltimore, Maryland, and sent that to me on the internet. Thank you, Yikes. I always appreciate that. James Ridgway worked for many years at the Village Voice, and he now is leading the investigative team in Washington, D.C. from Mother Jones Magazine, our media partner. Jim Ridgway, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well today, and you?
Pretty good.
Good. I wanted to talk to you about this piece that was posted a few days ago called 5 Scandals That Could Put Republicans in Jail. And people can find it at the Mother Jones website, motherjones.com, and it's also up one of the most popular stories right now at alternate.org. What was it that caused you to focus on these issues? Is it the prospect that Democrats actually might take control of the House and therefore head committees that could lead investigations?
Well, in fact, hate to admit it, or maybe I should. I'm glad to admit that the editors of Mother Jones wanted me to do this, so I did it. Now, I'm not so sure the Democrats are that different from the Republicans. You know, there's a kind of permanent government in Washington. But there is, in this crop of people who are running for Congress, there are some what you might call outsiders. And they might very well, you know, start pushing for things. But, you know, I wouldn't hold my breath. But so these several categories
mm-hmm.
are areas where one would have thought that a long time ago somebody would have gotten onto it.
Yeah.
Democrat or Republican.
I love that Dick Cheney interview that Russert did in September.
Right.
Where he talked about the threat of a Democratic takeover of the House and that it could lead to, investigations and accountability. And with a straight face, Cheney said that this Congress, I'm sorry, has been very aggressive in, keeping the administration in check. And when I heard that, I just about fell off the couch.
Yeah, well, that's pretty crazy.
It sure is. So, you broke it down into five categories plus a bonus category, and we'll cover as much of this as we can in the time we have. Number one was who lost Iraq. Number two, who blew 9/11. Number three, how wide is the domestic surveillance net? Number four, is big oil planning pulling an Enron? Number five, who's making money off your retirement? And the bonus category is impeachment. Jim Ridgway, let's start off with who lost Iraq. We have the Baker-Hamilton Commission ready to present a whole new plan for Iraq. We have, critical Republican senators like Chuck Hagel and John Warner sending clear messages that Karl Rove has not approved, that things in Iraq are deteriorating rapidly and seriously. So at what point do you think we will look back and say, gosh, how do we ever blow something this big, this bad?
Well, I don't know. You know, the whole problem with this is you would have thought that this would have been done quite a while ago. But, and I guess you could say that it's done in bits and pieces, even by some of the Republicans. For example, I guess Christopher Shays could be given some credit for looking into some of this. But, I mean, all these guys in Congress went along with this war, and so they don't have very much, interest in exploring it. So one could hope that either they have a change of heart or they see the political, winds changing, or there's some new people who will demand things. I mean, Dennis Kucinich, for example, has been asking for all kinds of things for years, and he doesn't get very much of anywhere. But, I don't want to paint, too much of a downer picture, but, I mean, this is not an easy thing to pull off. So, I mean, basically, the central investigation you would have using subpoenas and probably a joint select committee of some kind would be an investigation into the causes of the Iraqi war, the origins, including Afghanistan. And it would, it would be quite involved and quite lengthy and quite detailed. But after all, I mean, the Kefauver investigations into drugs was extensive. There were investigations into the oil industry long before that were very extensive. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the Congress has done these things. It's not like, some job that couldn't be done.
Right, right. And you made a good point that there are a lot of Democrats who are co-opted. They voted for the war, and they have not adroitly pivoted or, recast their position. And they're going to resist any deep investigation, because a lot of Democrats would just like to sweep all this under the proverbial rug and move on.
Yeah, well, that's the general attitude. Let's not talk about that. Let's go on. For example, 9/11 is just, really scandalous. I mean, that people haven't been held accountable on 9/11, and there hasn't been any kind of really serious investigation. I mean, the one investigation of 9/11 is by one guy, Paul Thompson, who wrote a book.
The Timeline.
Yeah, he wrote it all by himself. I mean, one guy put together sort of like the best we know of what actually happened. And this commission, diddled around having, kind of a garden party with Bush and Cheney, letting them both get together, not putting them under subpoena, under oath.
Oath, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not having a record of the conversation, sort of like, well, what the hell was going on that day? Well, it looks like the president was out to lunch and Cheney was running the country, which is against the Constitution. I mean, these people are always, all these guys, they're always talking about constitutionality. This is constitution. Well, this is like a big constitutional question, right? I mean, the country is being run and under attack by the vice president who has no authority, whatever. So, why not ask that?
Well, that'd be a great place to start. You referred to the bizarre way that the commission caved on the terms of its interrogation of Bush and Cheney. And Bush was permitted to characterize it as visiting with the members of the commission. Well, I'm going to have a visit with them.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
And that, of course, was after they tried to thwart the creation of the commission to begin with. Once
right.
it became a reality, they plugged Phil Zelikow in there, who is now the number two to Condi Rice, and he was an advisor to her beforehand. He co-authored a book with her. And I think fairly, David Ray Griffin has referred to it as the Cain-Zelikow Commission.
Right. Well, and not only that, but I mean, after they came out with their report, you know, which has a lot of really interesting and decent stuff in it, of course. But I mean, then Cain comes out with a book attacking his own commission. I mean, you know, what's going on? I mean, you know, it's just like they're playing. Some of these people play politics. It's such a shallow, you know, such a superficial and, you know, mean-spirited, vicious level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just if you're, no matter what your politics are, I mean, for someone who lost a family member or a friend in that 9/11 thing, not to have some kind of really serious, honest investigation of what actually happened, it just seems to me to be totally disgraceful.
And only 16% of Americans now accept the official story of what occurred on 9/11/01. And James Ridgway, how far do you go into the woo-woo zone? I've interviewed a lot of different people on the program, and for example, I'm not one of those people who thinks that there were not planes that were flown into the World Trade Centers. At the same time, I don't believe that the planes were entirely responsible for causing those buildings to come down.
Well, I think all the different theories are, since nobody's going to, you know, open up and have a really big inquiry into this, you know, it's sort of like the JFK, the Warren Commission inquiries, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, who killed JFK. It's sort of like something of that order needs to be done. But anyhow, all these different theories are well worth considering. But my thinking is that you don't need any theories. You just have to look at what happened. I mean, you know, how come when the stewardess, Betty Ong, was telling these guys 10 minutes into the flight, 11, telling American Airlines ground people
yeah.
that they'd been hijacked, what were they doing? Why didn't they pick up the radio or whatever and tell all the other pilots that this was going on? Instead, they sat around, you know, for what, 30 minutes or so?
And in the contacts with NORAD, as the Vanity Fair article and supporting documents showed, people were confused. They kept asking, is this real world? Because it was scheduled, there was a scheduled, you know, military war game that day built around airplanes being hijacked. And,
well,
and you know, to see the way our defensive infrastructure was completely skunked by, you know, 19 guys with box cutters is really stunning. And you add to that that nobody has been held accountable. Who's been fired for their failures on 9/11? Who was reassigned to Siberia or, you know, Greenland as a result of their failures? I cannot name one.
They've all been promoted. I mean, the head of the FAA, who is, like, totally asleep as far as anybody can figure out, I mean, she's off in some consulting company, and on the website of the consulting company, they say, you know, that she is, that she was the heroine of the day. I mean, you know, the FAA let all this stuff happen. They've been warned like 50 times or something.
Right.
They were going to get attacked from the air,
mm-hmm.
and even there's a couple of warnings, at least one warning, directly told them that they were going to get attacked by commercial planes that have been turned into missiles. So,
yeah.
you know, what in the world were they doing?
Jim, we got to take a break and we'll return. James Ridgway has penned the piece, Five Scandals That Could Put Republicans in Jail. We'll talk about the other issues next, and you can join us on the telephone, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
The Prunedale Auto Care Center and the Blue Frame Muffler Center remind you a vast new world of knowledge is available to our children on the Internet. But a growing number of young people are being targeted by strangers attempting to establish offline contact. Make sure your children know about all the dangers of child abduction. This message is from the Prunedale Auto Care Center and the Blue Frame Muffler Center, 8485 Prunedale North Road. Visit PLAAC.com.
And taking a look at traffic, got a big problem right now in Castroville. In fact, the CHP has issued what we call a SIG alert there. Westbound 156, just before El Monte del Lago. It's a major injury crash report there. Two vehicles head-on crash there. Paramedics, fire department, all on scene. The westbound lane shut down at this point. In fact, the CHP is conducting one-way traffic control in the eastbound lane. CHP also telling us that this is a fatal crash, unfortunately. So they're going to be on this for quite some time. Also want to take a look at a Watsonville problem, southbound 1 at Harkins Slough. We have an accident reported there. 3 to 4 vehicles involved in this crash. Minor injuries reported as well. CHP being called out to the scene there. And another problem being reported in Monterey County, Highway 198, about 2.5 miles west of the Fresno County line. Apparently there was a problem there involving a crash.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. We continue our chat with James Ridgway, investigative journalist, and he heads the Mother Jones Investigative Unit in Washington, D.C. You can read his work at motherjones.com. And the article we're talking about is 5 Scandals That Could Put Republicans in Jail. And item number 3 on this pre-indictment laundry list is How Wide is the Domestic Surveillance Net? And it's our official NSA theme song, Spy in the House of Love from Was Not Was. And just a quick update, the white van from Homeland Security has not been sighted near my secret studio location recently, so maybe they've moved on to another target. Jim Ridgway, this is a very substantive issue, and I feel a sense of relief that the Congress did not act on the Bush administration's urgings to legalize the law-breaking under the FISA law that has occurred since before 9/11, we now know, but related to eavesdropping on telephone calls and email transmissions and other electronic communications between Americans and others. Allegedly, they're all in other parts of the world, but we have to take that on faith. And you believe that this could be the basis for serious investigation and possible criminality on the part of administration officials.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there's a guy named Russ Tice who is at the worked in the NSA, one of the top, you know, guys in interpretation and handling technical materials. And he's now a whistleblower. I mean, he had all these high-level security clearances and everything. I mean, he's one of very few people, as I understand it. Well, he wants to testify and tell what's going on, and they won't let him.
Yeah.
Like, why can't he testify? I mean, what's the big deal here? I mean, you know, this NSA just runs wild, just does whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that some of these people who are the actual workers should be subpoenaed and brought before Congress and testify openly, like, what are they doing? Who are they listening to? And what is the point of all this? Where does this information go?
Well, and the real level of idiocy is Arlen Specter, the senator who heads the Judiciary Committee, is willing to legalize these measures, and presumably he doesn't even know what they are. He doesn't know the details of who's been spied upon, how, and when.
That's right. I mean, they haven't inquired into this stuff in any detail at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess it was Christopher Shea's committee that began to inquire into Russ Tyson and Rumsfeld shut it down in some way. So, I mean,
well, and Kurt Weldon, who is now under investigation on many fronts, to his credit, he tried to give Tice and also the people from Able Danger, Colonel Schaefer, a forum, and he was blocked by members of his own party. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air with Peter B. and Jim Ridgway.
Hey, Peter. And, Jim, you're hitting on some really good, valuable stuff here, and I appreciate that. I fear that even the best of publications, and yours is one of them, stays clear of a couple of subjects that we desperately need to be knowing about. One subject that's often a part of this program is that we have these psychopaths in office because they stole their offices by election fraud. They designed equipment that allows them to cheat, and it's about to happen to us again, and most of America is unaware of this. Because even the good publications, you never hear a word of it on the TV. Did I understand, though, you actually did include in those five items the planning for a new Pearl Harbor and causing it to happen, or am I seeing a little more than you put in there?
Well, I don't think I put it exactly like that, but I think this whole voting machine thing is a big deal, yeah. Of course there ought to be inquiries into what this is, who owns these things, and how they're operating, their connections with the various political committees, and so on and so forth. Yeah, it's a big, big deal. And you're right. I mean, none of these people talk about it. I mean, you know, I know this is a little off, but I want you to read this thing that I found. This woman, Jane Garvey, was head of the FAA during 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and she was asleep at the switch. They were warned and warned and anything. Okay, so she went on to APCO Worldwide, which is a global communications consultancy. And her corporate biography says this: Garvey's legacy administrator includes leading the FAA through one of the toughest chapters in all of our history, restoring American confidence in air travel and strengthening airline safety. Under the leadership of Jane F. Garvey, U.S. air travel is safer, more efficient, and the FAA is poised for continued success. Now, that is what you call complete, total bullshit.
Jim, that could cost me $350,000, but it was worth it. Dave, thank you for your call today.
You can't say that on the radio anymore?
No, that's on the list.
I take it back. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. It was very authentic. It was not something done to try to... grab an audience or be a Howard Stern. Jim, let me talk. We just have 1 minute remaining here. Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader in the House, has said she's not interested in impeachment. And there are practical reasons why I'm hesitant to embrace it. But on the fundamentals, these guys deserve it. What's your take on whether there's any potential for real impeachment process?
No, I don't think there's any interest. I don't think they're going to do anything about impeachment, but I think there might be some... Conceivably, if they put these some of these people under subpoena and, you know, put them under oath, there might be some criminal charges out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, in many ways, I have mixed feelings because I think that an impeachment process, even if it didn't lead to removal of Bush or Cheney, would certainly put them on notice that many people, including powerful members of Congress, believe that they've gone too far and gone afoul of the law. Whether it would ever lead to removal is another issue that has a lot of contingencies that we don't have time to talk about.
Okay, just one thing. If you want to really get to the heart of some of this stuff, the first thing the Democrats could do is go in and get these Cheney Energy, secret Cheney
the
Energy Committee records and make them public.
Thank you, Jim. Talk to you again soon. Jim Ridgway from MotherJones.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
300 million. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Today, the U.S. population officially passed 300 million. Can you feel it? Is it getting stuffy in here? Don't worry. You were here first. But you wonder, is this good news or bad news? The White House let the occasion pass since there's a good chance that number 300 million arrived in the back of a pickup under a tarp. Instead, the president focused on a surefire feel-good story, that bill greenlighting the CIA to continue aggressively not torturing suspected terrorists. But 300 million should be a feel-good story, too. Global warming types will whine about it. The 300 million energy waster. But we're in a fight here to spread American values. And face it, our ideological competitors are out-reproducing us. Western civilization is trying to spread all this enlightenment, personal fulfillment, stewardship of the earth, alternative fuels. But the result is that our canola fields are more fertile than we are. Enlightenment without reproduction leads inevitably to endarkenment. Enlightened people must occasionally have unprotected heterosexual sex. But Dave, you say, don't we have a collective responsibility here? Yes, of course we do. And having 300 million people spreads out that collective responsibility, thereby reducing your individual share. So you should immediately feel less guilty about, really, everything. The most important is this. Every time we add another American or American wannabe, it's one more person the terrorists will have to brainwash into submission. And after 3.5 years of creating more of them, it's about time we created more of us.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the scene.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on a Tuesday afternoon. Tomorrow's the day we take this show on the road to Eureka, California. Specifically, we'll be in Blue Lake at the Del Arte Performing Arts School in the auditorium there. And if you didn't get tickets, come on over anyway. Bring a lawn chair, a portable radio. If we can fit you in the auditorium, we will. If not, there's a nice amphitheater. And if the weather holds, it should be another great day tomorrow. See you there.
For 40 days. Only a spark to light my way. I want to give out. I want to give in. This is our crime. This is our sin. But I still believe. I still believe. Through the pain and through the grief. Through the lies.
Every week we make time to visit with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter at truthout.org, and also the author of a best-selling memoir. He's way too young for a memoir, but that's what it's called. News Junkie is the book, and it's doing really well out there. Jason, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
How's it going?
Good to be back here. Sorry I missed you last week. It's going well. Going very well. Yes, thank you for mentioning the book. It's certainly... quite a surreal experience,
yeah,
you could say.
I mean, if you're in the top 50 on Amazon.com, how many Americans know about your sordid past? I mean, I have kept mine in the closet. We've destroyed all the tapes from the embarrassing past experiences.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's these days it's like, you know, you're competing with shouldn't even go there, but, you know, competing with the GOP, it's tough out there. You know? I mean...
And you never thought about sending instant messages to...
No.
Underage paramours.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that never really interests me.
Right.
But things are going well, thank you.
Well, good. You have a piece fresh up at truthout.org today that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and it actually is... It's interesting, so I also want to mention that right after this story came out about Ken Lay.
Yeah, well, we need an update on Ken Lay, because Matt the producer and I, were talking about that earlier, about just, you know, how his death affected both his conviction and the restitution that he was supposed to pay. So we'll circle back to Ken Lay in a little while. But you wrote a piece, and I applaud you on your enterprise. It's one of those stories that nobody else appears to be paying attention to right now.
Right.
But there was this huge power blackout on the eastern seaboard, August of 2003, and just like Hurricane Katrina, the Bush administration has fixed it with press releases.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Some crony appointments and not much else.
Yeah, and you know, it was such a devastating blackout, and I'm sure that people who were in it, you know, remember it vividly. But it was such a devastating blackout, and really, it really showed how vulnerable we are, how antiquated our grid, the power grid, is, and how it's we've just sort of neglected it over the years. And even more than that, this blackout actually resulted in a $10 billion economic loss. I mean, that's huge. It really had implications. Wall Street was shut down. And people died. I mean, this was really, this was a devastating issue that when it happened. But
well, now, Jason, hold on just a minute.
Yeah.
Okay? Because the stewards of America's power grid are some of the most forward-looking, environmentally conscious people that you would ever want to meet.
Yeah.
And are you asserting that their interest in profits is greater than in serving the American public and keeping the lights on for years to come?
Was it that obvious? Did I make it that obvious? yeah, you know, a number of different things. Obviously, this blackout should have been a wake-up call, really while we're dealing with terrorist threats, the real threat to Homeland Security is how easy it is to really cause a nationwide blackout. And President Bush followed.
Let me jump in here.
Sure.
Because what that suggests is that Osama bin Laden has a plot. And the plot is that he's going to block tree trimmers from utility companies all across the country until the next blackout occurs.
Well, we're so dependent on electricity. It's like oxygen. Everything, the internet, everything is linked up to some sort of electrical outlet.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk about Homeland Security and how that affects how a blackout like this would affect us, is that it's very easy to go to any power plant or any substation and basically knock out the power across several states and wreak havoc.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it truly is that easy to do that. And the reason it's that easy is because, we don't have an upgraded power grid. We don't, while we're technologically savvy, we don't have, we neglect our basic resources. But more than that, ever since deregulation came into play 10 years ago, which, ironically, was was first brought to the attention of the California legislature by Jeff Skilling.
Mm-hmm.
That changed things. That actually, we've become more vulnerable to power outages because now we're sending power across several states on a transmission line, which really wasn't designed for that. So this story, was based on a report that came out by the North American Electric Reliability Council, and it's a devastating report in the sense that the prediction for the future is that we're going to have many more blackouts in the hot summer months, and perhaps even on off-peak hours as well, unless serious investment is made in this infrastructure to avoid that. It's when we talk about reliability, especially as it relates to the power grid, we talk about what they call six nines. You want to be 99.9999% reliability factor there.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we're way below that. So that means that if we have three or four nines, you're talking about power outages per year that could actually several hours, even several days.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you have to think about it in terms of, obviously, economics, because that really becomes a huge loss for businesses.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, give me a sense. We have a hodgepodge of regulation in this country. It's patchwork, it's quilted, whatever bad metaphor you want to use.
Right.
But some states have still the kind of utility regulation that was in place from the Depression going forward as part of the...
Sure. Los Angeles and even Sacramento, actually, are perfect examples of how, Los Angeles, we have the Department of Water and Power, and that's a
mm-hmm.
municipal utility.
Right.
And they generate their own power,
mm-hmm.
and they are not part of the grid, in a sense. They have their own separate grid. They use some of the transmission lines, but they're separate. They're
mm-hmm.
not part of the competition.
Right.
In L.A., there's no, people are who are served by Los Angeles Department of Water and Power really don't have to worry that much about blackouts. But for the most part, Many of these other states, while they watch California and deregulation take place, mm-hmm. you know, this was a law that was passed.
Well, and in 2003, the blackout in New York actually was triggered by grid problems in Ohio.
Right.
And it rippled through the system. And you pointed out a minute ago that this interconnectivity was never really designed in.
Exactly.
And as a result, we have a grid that is kind of accidental in the way that the Internet was, originally ARPANET, and then, you know, it was kind of infilled. The system was built out from there.
Exactly. And it's a real, you know, when I saw this report come out yesterday, this is a real, you know, serious problem that's going to, affect us for years to come. It's basically saying that growth is demand for power is increasing at an astronomical rate, but there's nothing in place to meet that demand, to offset the imbalance in supply. So as we continue to use these transmission lines and stretch it beyond its means, you know, what's going to happen is get used to having, you know, power outages as they do in third world countries, on a regular basis. I mean, it's funny that Bill Richardson, 5 years ago said, we're a nation with a third world grid. And it's getting more and more obvious that that's becoming a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on top of it, there was a report that was released as well by the Edison Electric Institute, which is sort of a group whose members include all these investor-owned utilities that sold off their, generating facilities when it came time to open up the market to competition. And while we were promised with deregulation, consumers were promised lower electricity bills, we're seeing, across the country, they're basically saying, finally, deregulation has been an utter failure.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a group that's officially saying this. So what's happening, in Washington is that, following this blackout in New York, President Bush publicly said that, we're going to invest money, in upgrading the grid. There has not been one thing that has been, I'm talking about people getting their hands dirty. Nothing has been done since that time to improve the infrastructure.
Jason, so, you just don't appreciate the beauty of these utilities voluntarily regulating themselves.
Oh, I know. That was such a genius idea.
And sacrificing or contemplating the sacrifice of profit for investment in the infrastructure.
Right, exactly. And by the way, that is a fact now. When reading this report, seeing the report about deregulation being an utter failure, which many consumer activists had sounded early alarms about this years ago, this is now a fact. I guess you could say.
Oh, come on, Jason. Come on, a little patience. Look what the free market has done for our healthcare system. Give the utilities a little more time. We're going to take a break and continue, and then I want to ask Jason about what FERC actually does, and we'll explain what FERC means and maybe even use it as a verb and see if we can attract another FCC fine today. Stand by, Jason. We'll continue. And if you'd like to talk with Jason Leopold, we've got lines available. On the Peter B. Collins Show, just dial us up at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches,
and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Take a look at traffic. Big problem in Castroville. Westbound 156 still remains shut down at this point because of a major injury crash. It's westbound 156 just before Monte Del Lago. And looks like two vehicles involved in a head-on crash. Again, westbound lane shut down. CHP is conducting one-way traffic control in the eastbound lanes. The CHP also telling us that this is a fatal crash, so we do have an investigation that is ongoing. Meanwhile, also want to take a look at Salinas Highway 68, just west of Hitchcock. We have an accident report there. It's a van and a car. CHP now on scene. In fact, traffic starting to back up in the area. The support brought to you by Mattress Discounters, Pillow Top Sale. You'll save up to $400 on Sealy Posturepedic Pillow Top. Plus, sleep for free on approved credit. Mattress Discounters.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. We head into the free speech zone next hour. We'll be taking lots of your calls on any subject on your mind. And we'll kick off our free speech zone with an update from Washington from Melanie Sloan about the ethics of people like Kurt Weldon, Bob Ney, and Democratic Senator Harry Reid. That's all ahead here on the PBC Show. We continue now with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. We're talking about the U.S. power grid and in the aftermath of the big blackout of 2003. The Bush administration has given it a Royal Katrina treatment. And what I wanted to ask about, Jason, is I know we've had deregulation at the state level. But what exactly are the duties of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC? And we certainly got royally FERC'd by them here in California in 2001.
FERC is supposed to be the commissioners are appointed by the president, but they oversee the energy industries.
Mm-hmm.
They oversee the basically back in 2001. The line that was used to describe FERC is that they were supposed to ensure that power prices are, quote, just and reasonable. And I'm taking that quote actually from some of the various filings that were made in showing what FERC was supposed to be a watchdog over. Certainly they turned a blind eye. They're not supposed to be an agency that's an advocate for deregulation or advocates competition. But that's certainly what they had become back in 2001. Now, few people are aware of this, and I think it's very important to point out that the current current chair of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is a guy by the name of Joseph Kelleher, and Kelleher is a guy. This is pretty incredible. Joseph Kelleher was involved with Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force.
I'm shocked.
He was a member. Yeah, I know. It is a shock, Peter. He was a member of Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force, which we know that, you know, that's where they started making all these rules on how to or put these policies into play on what the national energy policy should look like, which many of which benefited Enron. But here's something that's very interesting. There was a Joseph Kelleher, again the chair of FERC, back in March 2001, sent an email. He used to work for the Energy Department. He sent an email to an energy lobbyist named Dana Contrato. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that name correctly, but Dana Contrato was a lobbyist who was hired by Enron, and this email is pretty interesting in that it asked him, quote, if he was king or il duce, what would he include in the national energy policy with respect to electricity and natural gas issues? Now, this is the person who has now been appointed. You know, he's out there soliciting corporate, you know, a corporate response to what should be in the national energy policy, and now this is a person who is supposed to be an advocate for consumers, who's there now as the chair of FERC. So, you know, my point is that it's still quite murky. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're supposed to do is certainly not what they're doing.
I mean, and just in specific, they don't have any authority to tell the industry what to do to upgrade the grid, who should have how many kilowatts of generating power in which state. It's all up to the industry to decide what capital investments they make and what kind of improvements they make to the grid.
Exactly, and that's because these rules that were put into place by, you know, Congress gave the energy companies, you know, the ability to do what they want, which has turned out to be nothing. You know, I can't impress this upon people enough that we are incredibly vulnerable right now. You know, and just to use a personal example, last night, you know, just watching television, boom, the power went out. You know, I'm in the Edison area where Southern California Edison serves, but the power just went out. And no reason for it, but that's we're seeing that more and more. This summer, we've seen in the month of July, you know, if you just look back, I know there's so much time that has passed since then and so many things have happened in terms of scandals, but the month of July throughout the United States was a record in terms of, you know, power outages.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is going to become the norm.
Yeah. Jason, I want to turn to the subject we touched on at the beginning, which is the ruling in Houston today that cleansed the criminal slate of Kenny Boy Lay.
And, you know, and how ironic that, you know, you have this report saying that deregulation is basically an utter failure from which Enron benefited, you know, financially the most.
Indeed.
And then now you have Ken Lay. You have the court saying that because he died before, you know, sentencing or before he had a chance to appeal, he basically has a clean slate. You know, that record is absolutely removed.
Now, did the judge have any choice? I mean, he's dead, and under the law,
from what I understand, you know, it's interesting because I can't recall a case, or at least a high-profile case such as this one, where something like this has happened before. But according to the law, he really had no choice. I mean, his, you know, Ken Lay's, you know, due process, if you will, you know, because you're entitled to appeal, which is what Jeff Skilling has obviously done. He didn't have that ability to do that. So
let me just read a quote here. It's interesting. I got this from the fine folks at truthout.org. But it's a story that originated with the Washington Post.
Right.
And they managed to take a swipe at the blogosphere here. Ken Lay's death in July unleashed vicious internet criticism and prompted conspiracy theories that were dispelled by a coroner's report and sheriff's deputies. Wow, that's choice description, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, you know...
I mean, it's fair game. He died.
Absolutely
he
fair
died,
game.
And he got off the hook for $44 million in restitution to me, a shareholder.
That's
I'll never
right.
see it. And to the real victims, the employees at Enron, who invested all of their retirement funds
that's right.
in
it's
the company
if,
stock.
Exactly. Again, it's as if Ken Lay never went to court. This criminal proceeding is, it's basically they're saying it never happened. They're not, you know, he's not accountable. Obviously, he's dead. That may have, the trial itself may have taken a toll, but, you know, this is, to me, this is very interesting in terms of how the past 10 years, because, it, again, this has been the 10-year anniversary of deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, something that Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling lobbied for, you know, before the California legislature. We were the guinea pigs, if mm-hmm. you recall. And, you know, it, that's a failure, and now Ken Lay is a free man living in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are, and I still think that, you know,
Now I'm going to choose my words carefully here because, of course, the standards don't apply the same to me as they do to Ann Coulter. But if I were to adopt an Ann Coulter mindset,
right.
looking at this story, I would say, well, gosh, the path is clear for Karl Rove. If he wants to beat the rap, all he's got to do is die before he gets sentenced.
Right. Or, you know, stage a good death.
Yeah. Well, that's something that, you know, a right-wing nut can say and get away with it. If I said it, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we certainly know how the Washington Post has been leaning these days. I think that, you know, while the blogosphere, in my personal opinion, does deserve, you know, some lumps. This is just ridiculous. I mean, I my first reaction, having covered Enron extensively for, you know, 4 years, when I found out about the death, was, did he kill himself?
Right. It's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
It's not something that is vicious or a conspiracy theory. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thank you,
read
Peter.
Jason's memoir, News Junkie, and read his article today at truthout.org.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. He was the quintessential radio newsman. Retired CBS News correspondent Christopher Glenn died today at 68, liver cancer. He's remembered with respect and admiration by longtime colleagues, including correspondent Charles Osgood.
As a broadcast journalist, they just don't come any better than Chris Glenn. He had the brain, heart, voice, sense of decency and responsibility to do it better than just about any of us.
He employed his talents on a wide variety of broadcasts, including TV's In the News and his live coverage of the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster in 1986. Here's Chris Glenn on his final broadcast less than 8 months ago.
I've been doing the work I love for nearly 50 years now. Honored to have done it at this great news-gathering organization the last 35. But retirement is beckoning, and it's a wrap for me. Not, though, until I say one more time, and proudly, that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
That broadcast won Best Newscast Awards 2 years in a row. North Korea is not backing down. CBS News correspondent David Martin has the latest on the confrontation over Pyongyang's nuclear program.
As North Korea staged a spectacular torchlight show of defiance with what it called a Down with Imperialism rally, its officials publicly denounced economic sanctions passed by the UN as a declaration of war, and privately put out the word that they intend to conduct 3 more underground nuclear tests, and nothing can stop them. But they could be saying that just to make anything less than 3 look like a concession.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who's traveling to Asia, told reporters on her plane that North Korea's testing could set off a nuclear arms race in the region. At the White House today,
it is a rare occasion
when a president can sign a bill he knows will save American lives.
President Bush signed the Military Commissions Act, which clears the way for suspected terrorists to face military tribunals and revives a secret overseas CIA interrogation program.
The question to the president is, if we haven't tortured or abused prisoners of war, then why do we need to grant those who ordered it retroactive immunity?
Anthony Romero of the American Civil Liberties Union calls the law un-American and unconstitutional. Lester Crawford, former head of the Food and Drug Administration, has pleaded guilty to conflict of interest and making false reports. Crawford concealed his ownership of stock in companies the FDA regulated. New York Yankees manager Joe Torre and team captain Derek Jeter were among the mourners at today's memorial for Corey Lytle, the pitcher whose small plane crashed into a Manhattan apartment building last week.
I think you got the sense of shock and sadness.
He was always smiling. He was positive with all the guys, regardless of how he was doing. You know, he was a great teammate, and that's what you like to see is guys that are very supportive of other players.
Three planes, like the one Lytle owned, made several flyovers during the service. On Wall Street today, the Dow slipped back 30 points, closing at 11,950, the NASDAQ down 18. This is CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
The State Department and the Department of Homeland Security have unveiled their plans for a new kind of passport. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv explains.
It'll be a wallet-sized card, cheaper than a full passport. Only one quarter of Americans have a passport. Starting in 2009, even driving across the border from Mexico or Canada, you will need a passport or this card, which won't have any personal information printed on it. A chip in the card will link a border control officer to a central computer where your photo and birth date will be stored.
We all have heroes, even if some of them don't really exist. A new book out today lists the 101 most influential people who never lived. Topping the list is the Marlboro Man, the ruggedly handsome cowboy created by an ad agency to sell cigarettes. Other cultural icons, according to the authors, include Big Brother from the George Orwell book 1984, King Arthur, Santa Claus, Barbie, and the Loch Ness Monster, although some say Nessie does exist. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. It's the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory-trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear, coming out of your speakers, however you work this radio thing. And I'm glad you're listening. This hour, it's the Free Speech Zone. We take your calls, and you know the limited rules we have. You can talk about any subject from any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And to sweeten it, we'll pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And every week we get an update from Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And they've been real busy, real busy these days. Melanie broke the Mark Foley story right here on our program on the day that it first surfaced. And there's a lot more going on there, too. Melanie, thanks for joining us.
Oh, always my pleasure, Peter.
Yeah, and you have been very busy. Let's talk about Kurt Weldon. He's a long-term Republican congressman from Pennsylvania. And yesterday, the FBI conducted sweeps or raids or picked up materials at several different locations related to Kurt Weldon's daughter.
That's right. They did searches on six different locations and carted away boxes of documents. Now, CREW had filed a complaint against Kurt Weldon over his actions on behalf of his daughter back on April 7th of 2004, so almost 2.5 years ago. And this is because Kurt Weldon has taken numerous actions on behalf of his daughter. First, his daughter's name is Karen. Karen Weldon won a $240,000 contract with two Serbian brothers after Mr. Weldon urged State Department officials to reverse their denial of visas for the brothers, who, by the way, had been linked to Slobodan Milosevic.
Nice.
Yeah. Then she got a $20,000 a month contract with a Russian aerospace manufacturer, on behalf of which Weldon had urged the Navy to purchase the company's flying drone. And then finally, and this is probably the biggest contract she got, Weldon co-hosted and arranged for 30 congressmen to attend a dinner back in 2002 at the Library of Congress on behalf of a Russian energy company called Itera. And just a few days after Mr. Weldon sponsored the dinner, the gas company signed a $500,000 a year contract with Karen Weldon's firm. And you have to understand, Karen Weldon was mere 29 years old at the time, had $1 million a year worth of business, all from clients with interest before her father.
Well, but Kurt Weldon said yesterday that he doesn't have a clue about why this investigation is ongoing, and that his daughter is so successful that she would never need his help.
Right, that's what he said. But it is very unusual for a 29-year-old with no previous lobbying experience to suddenly have lots of huge clients, all who just coincidentally have business before her father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Weldon's in a tight re-election campaign, and he is, fighting back, saying, "Oh, this is just political." But as you pointed out, this has been percolating in the proverbial pipeline for over 2 years.
Yes, it's even more than Weldon saying it's political. Weldon is saying that I personally forced the Justice Department to do this investigation. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, Peter, but I don't actually work at the Justice Department.
I have figured that out.
We're an independent ethics organization, and I have no control over the Justice Department. If I had control over the Justice Department, perhaps they would have investigated Mark Foley, say, when I sent them the emails about Mark Foley back in July of 2006, and they didn't investigate that.
So let's get this clear. Republicans claim that you're a Democratic operative when you did not publicize the Mark Foley information. You simply turned it over to the FBI and followed up hoping that they would pursue it. And now Weldon is saying that you're some sort of a Democratic operative because you have personally caused this to be sprung just 3 weeks before the election. What a powerful person you are.
I know. I must be the most powerful person in Washington. Now, someone did point out to Mr. Weldon that the Justice Department was Republican and was run by the Bush administration. And his response was, he wasn't stupid. He knows that.
Oh, this is just amazing. Anything else we should know about the Weldon investigation?
You know, the other thing you should know that isn't really out there yet is that Karen Weldon is really just the tip of the iceberg with Mr. Weldon. There is another case that I really hope that the Justice Department gets to involving a woman named Cecilia Grimes. Cecilia Grimes was a real estate agent turned lobbyist. Now, there's a career switch you don't see too often. A close friend of Kurt Weldon's in Media, Pennsylvania, and she suddenly becomes a lobbyist and lobbies only Kurt Weldon and amazingly has lots of business from clients who need Kurt Weldon's help.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yes.
Now let's talk about Bob Ney. He is the congressman from Ohio who last week on Friday announced that he had pled guilty to charges related to the gifts that he received from Jack Abramoff, including a gambling spree in London, the golf tour of Scotland, and he returned the favors, which he has now acknowledged. So we have now the case of a congressman who's pled guilty, and maybe he's got trafficant syndrome, but he is not willing to resign now, apparently because he needs his paycheck.
That's
and
right.
We now have the newly inspired ethics of the Republican leadership in the House, and Dennis Hastert is threatening to expel him as soon as the lame duck session is initiated in early November.
That's right, but that gives Mr. Ney pretty much another month of pay, and I think that's what he's counting on. I think he won't force them to expel him. He'll probably resign the day they come back. But that gives him, you know, another several weeks of receiving payments, and he apparently is quite broke and needs the money, so he's not resigning. And it is kind of amazing to hear John Boehner and Dennis Hastert demanding, insisting that they will expel Ney when they've been defending Ney's innocence for the past couple of years, despite incredibly clear evidence that Ney was guilty of sin.
Yeah. Yeah, and there will be no ethics investigation of these misdeeds, which have culminated in a criminal conviction, a guilty plea by this party. And yet the ethics committee has yet, they were hot on the mark to investigate Mark Foley, but they haven't lifted a finger to look at Abramoff cases, have they?
No, in fact, the ethics committees in both the House and the Senate have said flat out that they were sitting out the Jack Abramoff scandal. So here we have the largest scandal in congressional history, and the ethics committees are sitting it out. By the way, I wouldn't hold my breath on that House ethics committee into the cover-up on Mark Foley. The chairman of that committee, Doc Hastings from Washington State, was put into his position primarily because of his loyalty to Dennis Hastert.
Mm-hmm.
The former chairman, Joel Heffley, was kicked out after his committee unanimously admonished former Majority Leader Tom DeLay, and they put in people who were known to be more loyal to the Republican leadership. So I'm expecting a total whitewash of Hastert's actions from that committee.
We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, Citizens for Ethics, that's F-O-R, citizensforethics.org. Now, Melanie, we don't protect Democrats when they run afoul of ethics regulations on our program here, and I'm curious to get your take on the two issues that have been raised about Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, the Democrat from Nevada. One is regarding a land deal, a transaction in which he ultimately made a profit of about $1 million, and he is saying that he will refile ethics disclosure forms because they were technically not correct. Now, from what I understand, he owned the property outright, then he transferred it into a limited liability company with a partner, and it was that transaction that was not reported, and since he skipped over that when he took the $1 million profit, he claimed that that came directly from his ownership. Do I have the fact base pretty accurate?
You do. You do have the facts right. And the fact of the matter is Harry Reid should have been disclosing all of that to the Ethics Committee. The rules required him to disclose it. And, you know, Harry Reid, of all people, he once served on the Ethics Committee, so he knows the rules. So I can't really give Harry Reid a pass here. Land deals seem to be the big thing in Congress these days, and we've criticized many another member of Congress for their land deals. But the big problem here is that Harry Reid did not disclose that to the Ethics Committee, and he was required to do so, and the Ethics Committee should look into why he didn't disclose it. I mean, he is amending now and disclosing it, but it's not good enough to disclose stuff only when you get caught.
I agree. Now, the other issue seems much more trivial, and that is that he diverted some money from his campaign accounts to pay holiday bonuses to the employees of the condo complex where he lives in Washington. The top amount was $1,200 or $1,500, which I consider to be pretty small change. And he argues that he wanted to reward these people because they put up with him and his security detail and all the politicos who come and go from his building. You know, that seems like a little bit of a stretch, but not such a big deal. What's your sense?
You know, I think it's a lot of a stretch. The fact is, this is only not a big deal because of the amount of money involved, a total of about $3,300. But the fact is, the law is very clear. Campaign committee funds are not members of Congress' personal slush funds, and Harry Reid was frankly using his, like his personal slush fund. Just recently, there was a decision by the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, that a member of Congress could not pay his personal trainer out of his campaign committee funds, which, you know, seems reasonable if you think about it. So I'm not really sure why you should get to pay your doorman out of your campaign committee funds any more than that, just because you as a politician happen to have more people come to see you at your apartment building.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's well put. And I'm glad you're on the case. Thank you, Melanie.
My pleasure, Peter.
All right, good to talk with you. That's Melanie Sloan at CREW Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Now we head into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You want to talk about ethically challenged public officials? We'll talk about it. You want to talk about other issues? Bring them on. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you grab a line now, you can be up first right after the break. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B, here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Taking a look at the traffic on this Tuesday evening. Castroville westbound, 156 before Monte del Lago. Major injury crash has been cleared. That's somewhat good news. Again, all lanes now open, but unfortunately this was a fatal crash involved in this accident. Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, either direction. No major stalls or crashes to report, which is certainly some good news. Salinas, Highway 68 west of Hitchcock. We have a crash reported there. Apparently this is a van and car at a car, CHP unseen. And in, looks like Hollister, Fairview Road at Santa Ana, injury crash reported, two vehicles involved, fire department and emergency crews all on scene. This report brought to you by Juniper Networks. Juniper Networks, located in Sunnyvale, is seeking talented candidates to join their dynamic team. Please visit juniper.com to learn more about their open house held on Wednesday, October 18. Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA 540.
As Melanie Sloan told us, the ethics committees have said they have no interest in the Jack Abramoff scandal.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for another government lesson for little children. Our second story is about Jack Abramoff. This is the house that Jack bribed. This is the cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house that Jack bribed. This is the member who couldn't remember if he took some cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house that Jack bribed. This is the tribe who paid for the bribe to give to the member who couldn't remember if he took some cash from Abramoff's stash inside of the house that Jack bribed. See how it all fits together?
Capital steps here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Also, before we go to your calls, I want to mention one thing. Earlier today, a caller, I think it was Debbie from Eureka, raised a question about the pocket veto and whether the president's signature applied only today to the Military Commissions Act, that's the Stalin bill that I renamed, whether it actually complies with the rules. And I want to thank Tyler. Yeah, Tyler emailed this to me. He looked up the language in the Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution. And it reads, if any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days, Sundays excepted, after it shall have been presented to him, the same shall be a law, in like manner as if he had signed it, unless the Congress by their adjournment prevents its return, in which case it shall not be a law. Now, this pretty explicitly states that he had 10 days absent Sundays to sign the bill. And if I'm correct, this would be about day 13, if not 14. Well, wait a minute. It was passed on the 28th of September, a Thursday. So it is somewhere in the 12 to 13 day range absent Sundays. So I want to thank Debbie for raising the issue, Tyler for lawyering it for us, and it's now an open question as to whether the Stalin Act is legally valid based on the president's late signature applied today. Pat in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today, Peter?
Just fine, thanks.
Good, and yeah, let's hope the pocket veto thing plays out the way we hope it does.
I'd love to see this invalidated. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I was calling was, you know, the whole thing talking about Harry Reid, and this is just kind of like a general observation, and hopefully anybody that thinks that, you know, progressives are not intellectually honest, because I consider myself one, this is my question. You know, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi initially, is when the Abramoff scandal broke, were talking about, you know, how, you know, they were just condemning it.
Right.
And,
culture of corruption is Pelosi's line.
Yeah, culture of corruption, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Reid, it came out at that point, said, you know, it came out that he had taken some money, but it wasn't directly from Abramoff. It was from other lobbying firms that he represented.
That's right. No Democrats received contributions directly from Jack Abramoff, but many received contributions from Indian tribes at the direction of Jack Abramoff.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll accept that with, you know, a little bit of uneasiness, but at the same time, there is a difference.
Yes, there is.
In my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. They have since dropped the culture of corruption attack, as it were, or, you know, we don't hear that very much anymore.
Well,
it's my mind.
It's still a part of their language. I don't think they've actually dropped it.
They haven't dropped it, but they certainly have toned it down considerably.
Well, I think events have overtaken them. I think they had an October surprise moment, and they said, wow, this culture of corruption thing is bigger than we thought, and we've gotten the biggest gift surprise we could ever expect.
Okay, because it seemed to me like it happened sooner than that. At least a month or two before the Foley thing broke. But, again, you know, sometimes perception is kind of funny, but that... Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it, and it's when you were just talking with the representative from Crewe, is like it's just here's the point, man, and it's just so disappointing.
And I would, frankly, on this basis, I would like to see Harry Reid take the high road. He's going to pay back the money. He's going to amend his filings. And he should resign as the Democratic leader of the Senate, even if Democrats win control.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Now to Josh in Phoenix. Hello, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. I'm a conservative like everyone else. I think Foley's a scumbag. But what exactly is the Republican cover-up that you guys keep mentioning?
Well, the Republicans didn't deal with the Foley issue, even though they were in charge of the Page Committee and they were aware of it for as much as a five-year period before it surfaced.
But they weren't aware of the sexually explicit instant messages.
I would say that I believe that Dennis Hastert was not personally aware of the details of the more explicit messages. I don't have proof for that, but based on the way that this was disclosed and evolved, I would say that he might have a clear argument there, and we'll see if the Ethics Committee thoroughly investigates it and sustains his position.
So I take it you support Foley's being kicked out of Congress and all that.
Well, he resigned, so I have
resigned,
no...
Do you think that Representative Stubbs, the Democratic congressman who actually had sex with a male page, should have resigned?
You know, that is such... It's such ancient history that I really don't think that there's an equivalence.
Well, it comes up because he passed away over the weekend, and he was praised by John Kerry and other Democratic senators.
Well, I do not condone his behavior with a page, but it does appear that it was consensual, that the page was beyond the age of consent, and ultimately Gary Studs was censured by the Democratic majority in the House at that time, and he went on to win re-election in his district. So if you have an argument, it's with the people in Gary Studs' district in New York State.
Okay.
All right, Josh, thanks for the call today. You're always welcome to join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We don't screen for people who don't agree with your humble host. So call us now at 888-5-PETER-B. More calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m. We're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast's most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's a talk show host dream when you throw out the phone number, open up the phone lines, and then they all light up. We're going to get to your call, so hang on there at 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me if that's easier for you, peter at peterbcollins.com, humblehost at peterbcollins.com. A couple of other issues I just want to toss into the mix. Lynn Stewart, the radical defense lawyer who had defended the blind sheikh, she was sentenced yesterday, compassionately, 28 months. On charges that amounted to treason. And in my view, she was caught red-handed. She passed some information from Sheikh Rahman to his friends, I believe, in Egypt. And it was not just, you know, send me some toothpaste or, you know, I want to... It was not trivial. It was a very critical breach, and it was a direct violation of an agreement she had made with the court in taking on the Sheikh's case. And in view of her long service to poor people and the disenfranchised, Judge John G. Kettle, or Keltel, K-O-E-L-T-L, of Manhattan Federal District Court, tossed aside the prosecutor's recommendation of a 30-year sentence and gave the 67-year-old cancer victim a 28-month sentence. I have to say that's probably the best circumstance she could have hoped for in that particular case. We now know why Republican Lester Crawford resigned as head of the Bush administration's Food and Drug Administration rather abruptly last September 2005. Two charges have been filed against him, and he's expected to plead guilty in federal court in Washington. It may have already happened today. And it was because he owned shares in companies regulated by the FDA, and he lied when he claimed he had divested them. And also, aloha and mahalo to our friends in Hawaii, who suffered through a 6.6 earthquake on Sunday morning.
No lives were lost, significant damage to many buildings, and many people were shaken up. But I'm glad they survived that Timblor without any big, big problems. Now to your calls. We've got Terrence in Aptos up first. Hello, Terrence. You're on the air on the PBC show.
Hi, Peter. I have to preface this by saying I'm a Democratic Party activist, but I still have been wondering, suppose the Democrats take back both houses in this election and then take the presidency in 2008, what is to keep them from becoming as corrupt as the current gang of Republicans?
Well, there's you and me to start with.
Okay, but think about the people who put the current crop of Republicans in office. I suspect that the evangelicals who provided the margin of victory for a lot of those politicians, they don't want to see politicians taking money for bribes. They don't want to see this level of corruption and moral problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not successfully keeping their politicians in line. How would we be different?
Well, I think that because of the lack of organization that the Democratic Party has enjoyed for so many decades now, that Democratic leaders can't rely on you or me to remain silent in the face of transgressions, the way many Republicans have been so subdued regarding the misdeeds of the last 6 years. And that's not a guarantee, but I have to say that the worst abuses by Democrats when they enjoyed one-party rule pale in comparison to what we've seen in the last 6 years. And I don't think, you know, putting the Democrats in charge is a panacea, but I believe that we have learned a serious lesson and that we do not want one-party rule ever again. And in some ways, I would like to see the Democrats pick up both houses for the short term, the next 2 years. And then I, you know, my dream scenario would be that the Democrats win the White House and hold on to one house on Capitol Hill. And the Republicans, I know this offends some people, but I'd like to see them have a slim majority in one house, because that is the kind of check balance cycle that we need. The other approach that might even be more palatable to many of my progressive friends would be for the Green Party to focus on the House of Representatives in a laser-like way and get 5 to 10 seats in the House so that we have a swing vote coalition builder. And the Republicans couldn't pass their key pet projects without the Greens and some Democrats. And likewise, you know, under most scenarios, unless the Democratic majority rolls up to 50 or 60 seats, that 10-vote block of Greens could be a substantive barrier to the worst inklings of a Democratic majority.
Sounds great. The other thing I'd like to bring up is, you know, there's Proposition 89 is on the ballot, which would provide public financing for statewide offices. And in theory, you know, there's a possibility that third parties could get public financing along the lines of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way for them to get it is to get 10% of the vote in the previous election for that office or for the governor's office. So there, you know, there's incentive, I think, for people to figure out ways that they could vote green for offices that are already secure for Democrats, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would allow the Greens to get some funding and for there to be an alternative viewpoint out there. And
I would also like to see the Greens build up to 5 or 10 seats in the California Assembly. I don't think we have a risk of one-party rule emerging from this fall's election, but it is of concern to me. And if Phil Angelides were in striking distance of the governorship, I would be a little concerned about the kind of collusion that Democrats are capable of, particularly in Sacramento. I actually think it's, you know, in relative terms, the threat is a little worse in Sacramento than it is in Washington. That, by that I mean of Democratic one-party rule.
The last thing I'd like to say is that the two things that we really need to get out of this election. We need to see Proposition 89 passed, and we need to see Deborah Bowen get in office. And I really want to encourage people to get out and do those, vote for those two things.
I would second your comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Now to Kim in Phoenix. Hello, Kim. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's so great to have you here in Phoenix, finally.
Well, thank you.
Main reason I called is you were speaking with a gentleman by the name of Josh.
Right.
Gary Studs, I believe, this is before I was able to vote, but I believe he's from Massachusetts, or was from Massachusetts.
You know, I'm not 100% positive. Barney Frank is from Massachusetts.
Yes. I'm pretty sure Gary Studs, though, back in 83, I was young, but I'm pretty sure he was Massachusetts. The other thing that I wanted to
say... Well, hold on, hold on, because if I misspoke, it's time for me to acknowledge that.
Excuse me.
All right, Kim, continue.
Okay. And the other thing Josh brought up with regard to Gary Studs is the fact that he didn't resign. What Josh and other people, not only was it, I believe, a consensual relationship with the page that Gary Studs was involved with, but Gary Studs was not in charge of a committee for missing and exploited children,
right,
as Mark Foley was.
That is correct.
So, you know, these people need to stop dredging up the past and deal with what's going on right now.
Yeah, and if you want to, you can go into the history books and selectively pull up a Democrat or a Republican who is party to a sex scandal. We had Democrat Wilbur Mills of Ohio, who had a blonde secretary who couldn't type on his payroll, and he got drunk one night and got caught roaming around Washington with her. We have a Republican, I think it was Phil Crane of Illinois, you know, who got caught with, you know, in a relationship with a young woman. And we have Robert Livingston, who was Speaker of the House for 20 minutes in between Hastert and Newt Gingrich.
Right.
And he resigned rather than have his mistress exposed. Then on the Democratic side, we got Gary Condit. And so I really don't see the point of these Republicans who clearly are surprised by the Foley scandal and see it, you know, as an unexpected and very damaging element to their hold on power. I can understand that they resent it, but to try to come up with this neener argument is pretty bogus in my book.
I agree wholeheartedly, and you know, when you look back on, you know, I've heard people bring up the whole Bill Clinton Monica thing, and what I think people fail to realize too is that the people who were you know, leading the charge for impeachment were some people who were having extramarital affairs. Who's that guy from Hustler?
Larry Flynt.
Yeah, Larry Flynt spent quite a bit of money investigating these people. So it's like, you know, just admit you did something wrong. Admit it. Fix it. Move on. Don't bring other people into it. It's just like when my kid gets in trouble. Oh, well, Sally down the street did it. Well, it doesn't make it right.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
Kim, thank you. Good to have you listening. I appreciate the call, and I always appreciate corrections. I'm not perfect, and if I make a mistake, I want you to call and straighten me out. Ed Naptos, welcome to the show today.
Greeting.
How you doing?
Good. I don't know if this is my paranoid moment, but the right wing is now advertising on your station, and I heard them also advertising on Bernie Ward's program on the San Francisco station.
Well, what is the what's the message?
Well, just that they're using their money, you know, for advertising. I don't know. You're probably KRXA is probably not a very expensive buy, but KGL is a pretty expensive buy, I would imagine, for a congressional race.
Well, you'd be surprised. In the nighttime at KGO, it's about $45 for a political commercial.
Hmm.
So,
okay, well,
and after midnight, it's $25. I happen to know because I've placed buys like that.
The
radio stations cannot reject advertising. The only way that you can reject political advertising is to reject it all. And if you accept any, then you have to accept every qualified candidate who shows up with cash.
Well, I would just thought it was a little odd that, you know, that the right wing is advertising on your station, but I'll take their money, I guess, if I was Hal. And but
well, again, we legally cannot reject it unless
I realize
they cross certain lines.
their method of going to the, you know, to the other side to, you know, to woo us for some of the people that might not be too sophisticated and realize that they're, not representing their views.
So I'm not familiar with the commercials you're talking about. Are they for candidates or ballot measures?
No, it's for candidates. It was for Denham, Jeff Denham, that's running against Wiley Nickel for the Senate district here. And then Pombo was advertising on Bernie Ward's show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is the season. Hold your nose and, you know, change the channel if you have to.
just a little paranoid moment.
I understand. Thank you, Ed. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines available, so call me. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
An off-white with tan interior 2002 Audi A6 3.4 liter one owner car in as new condition with only 28,000 miles. The original sale price of this car was $42,000, but this week only the special offering price is $21,900.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's MOHR. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Taking a look at traffic, going to talk about a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains southbound 17 in Idlewild. This is a fender bender report there. Looks like two cars involved in this crash. Now, they've pulled out into a turnout, CHP, arriving on scene at this point. Meanwhile, I also want to take a look at a problem in Carmel, Santa Lucia Avenue at Camino Real. Two-car crash there, the CHP on the way to this scene. Watsonville, they're working on a crash. This would be Arroyo Drive at Green Valley. A car apparently collided with a parked vehicle, CHP, on the way to the scene there. And then that eastbound 237 before Great America Parkway injury crash reported as well. Well, teachers denounced Governor Schwarzenegger's claim that cutting $4 billion from schools was, quote, a good idea. Governor's Teachers Association President Barbara Kerr says the governor has broken his promise to our students in time again. A support brought to you by the California Democratic Party.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking this baby on the road tomorrow. I'm going to get up at the crack of dawn and drive to Eureka, and we're going to originate from the Del Arte Performing Arts School, and that is in Blue Lake, just east of Eureka on 299. Lots of folks have grabbed tickets already, and I've never been to this location, but from what I understand, we can accommodate additional people. Bring lawn chairs, bring your portable radio, so you'll be able to hear the broadcast in case you're not in the auditorium. auditorium, but we're going to make every effort to get everybody in the house. And so I hope you'll come by, even if you can only stay for half an hour or so, and say hello and support our live broadcast. It's going to be focused almost, well, in fact, exclusively on election issues. And I want to thank Dave Berman and Tom Seaborn and everybody else who has helped make this possible. Looking forward to meeting you all, and appreciate your support of the PBC show and our live event tomorrow. Before we take more calls, I wanted to acknowledge Claire from Phoenix, who sent me a note yesterday. She was only able to listen to part of the Free Speech Zone, but we were talking about the way smart people mangled the term nuclear and call it nuclear. And she sent me a link to an interesting commentary that was broadcast several years ago on the Fresh Air program on public radio, written by a man named Jeff, with a G, Jeff Nunberg. And he, I don't know his credentials, but he appears to be a linguist or some other kind of an expert on speech. He said there are two kinds of linguistic missteps, the typos and the thinkos. Typos are processing glitches that intercede between a thought and its expression. They can make you look foolish, but they aren't really the signs of an intellectual or ethical deficiency the way thinkos are. It's the difference between a sentence that expresses an idea badly and a sentence that expresses a bad idea. And so he makes the point that, let me scroll down here, that Bush's use of nuclear is either a thinko, or it is an intentional mispronunciation as he embraces the Bubba factor. He writes, take the pronunciation of nuclear as nuclear. That one has been getting on people's nerves since Eisenhower made the mispronunciation famous in the 50s. In Woody Allen's 1989 film Crimes and Misdemeanors, the Mia Farrow character says she could never fall for any man who says nuclear. That would have ruled out not just W, but Bill Clinton, who said the word right only about half the time. President Carter, according to this man, had his own way of saying the word as nukia. But that probably had more to do with his Georgia accent than ignorance of the proper pronunciation. And so he goes on to conclude here. Let me scroll down one more time. He said, or is it a faux Bubba pronunciation, the sort of thing he might have started doing at Yale by way of playing the Texas Yahoo to all those earnest Eastern dweebs? He said, actually, there would be an easy way to tell. Just see how Bush pronounces nuclear in phrases like nuclear family and nuclear medicine. If he says nuclear all the time, then it's most likely a faux Bubba thing. But if he only says nuclear for weapons, it's probably a bit of borrowed Pentagon swagger. All right. So that's an interesting look at the commentary we had yesterday here on the program. Up next, we go to Cindy in Monterey. Thanks for calling, Cindy. You're
on the
air.
I wonder if we're going to go any deeper into the depths of evil. You know,
well, what are you referring to?
Well, there's
so many
angels.
There's so many opportunities
for torture. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure exactly where to take this. I think that we have already sunk pretty low, and that
pretty damn un-American.
If we were to keep these people in power without checking them, yes, I think it could get worse.
Could get worse, because what if it's just someone they don't agree with, like a gay person or unwed mother or...
Well, and this new language does permit, I think, under certain circumstances, an American citizen to be declared an unlawful enemy combatant and subject to the degraded legal standards of this new law, which they say is intended for aliens, for non-Americans.
Well, it sounds like they're pretty close to declaring war on America. You know what? I was fantasizing or role-playing that I was Bin Laden. You know where I would be? Hanging out at the CDC or down in Mexico in some bizarre hospital trying to get myself another liver. I wouldn't be in Pakistan at all. I don't know. It's a funny little game they're playing with us people here. Do you remember that they said that it was going to be legal to do experiments on... parts of the population, like they flew over San Francisco and sprayed them with some weird stuff once.
Under what?
under some law that could be like remain secret and just the mayor or the city council would know.
You mean you think that's in the Patriot Act or what? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, no, they already passed this law a long time ago that they could do this, run secret germ warfare experiments and stuff, and they would fly over. The butcher would know.
Well, what I can tell you is that in the 1960s there was a secret program called MK Ultra,
right?
And they fed LSD to unsuspecting individuals.
Right.
I don't know about what you just described of, you know, testing chemical weapons.
In the 70s, they sprayed something to test how they would intercept, you know, like a biological weapon or something.
Mm-hmm.
How it would spread.
Okay, well, if you can find more on that, send it along. All right,
okay.
Thank you, Cindy. Good to talk to you. Oh, I think she had more, but I don't have more time. Sorry, Cindy. Steve in Watsonville, you're next here on the PBC show.
Really close. I almost used the English word for para. In the good sense, in the surfer sense.
I don't know where you are there, Steve. Can you lapse into coherence here and help us out?
Let's see what I can do.
Okay. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, first of all, mahalo also to our new listeners in the great red state of Hawaii.
Well, I don't actually know that we have a lot of listeners there. I have a couple of people who listen online who I'm familiar with, but I was just kind of sending that up into the general atmosphere.
And there's a surfer phrase that, you know, that I'm pretty sure Powell would forbid, you know, would allow me to say on the air.
All right. Well, you know, clean it up. Sanitize it for us. What does it sound like?
It sounds like pitching.
Uh-huh. Okay. I picked that up.
Cool. Anyway,
Steve, I'm waiting for Steve, I'm waiting patiently here for the payoff. Don't let me down.
Yes,
Where are you going?
I'm here.
Where are you going?
What I want is to focus on Republican corruption, the attack ads that have been promulgated throughout, you know, Northern California in the sound of your voice against Jerry McNerney.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pombo's got a lot of money, and he's not ashamed to use it to smear somebody.
No kidding. No kidding. And he's such a chicken hawk, you know, like, let's not even go into that.
Okay.
You know?
Well, listen, I got to run because Trigger's here, and it's time to saddle up and ride off into the sunset. Thank you, Steve. I'm going to ride up to Eureka tomorrow. I'll see you there at the Del Arte Center starting at 3 p.m.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Tired of stale, syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh, local, liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, uh-huh, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal, on the show, every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Down in Monterey.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, everyone. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
He was one of the signature voices of CBS News for decades. Christopher Glenn retired earlier this year and sadly died today of liver cancer. He was 68. He will be remembered for that distinctive voice and the intelligence behind it. Many of his colleagues were also fans. For the last 7 years of his career, Chris Glenn anchored the World News Roundup every weekday morning. There are new rules for handling suspected terrorists now that President Bush has signed the Military Commissions Act. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
For those of us in the radio news business, Chris, calling it a bill he knows will save lives, President Bush hailed the new law's authorization of the CIA program of interrogating terrorist suspects.
This program has been one of the most successful intelligence efforts in American history. It has helped prevent attacks on our country.
Mr. Bush again vowed the U.S. would abide by the Geneva Conventions and not engage in torture, but unspecified aggressive practices can be used by CIA interrogators if approved by President Bush and spelled out in an executive order. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The new law does not end the battle. Anthony Romero is executive director of the ACLU.
The fact that this Congress and this Senate and this president have signed into law a bill that is flatly unconstitutional and un-American really is an affront to the American people.
Court challenges are pending. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports former FDA Commissioner Lester Crawford made his court appearance today.
After pleading guilty to two misdemeanor counts, Crawford told reporters,
"This was my fault, no one else's, and I accept full responsibility."
For what he called errors and omissions. He failed to disclose holdings he and his wife had in companies significantly regulated by the FDA when he was a top official there. Jail time is not expected. Maximum fine, $100,000 on each count. He and the government have agreed on a softer penalty, although the judge isn't bound by that.
Enron founder Ken Lay was convicted of fraud and conspiracy in the company's spectacular collapse, but today a federal judge in Houston threw out the conviction because Lay died in July without having a chance to appeal. Don't worry about seafood, says a new report from the Institute of Medicine, and CBS News medical contributor Dr. Sean Kniff agrees wholeheartedly.
For your every